This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The genocide that happened in Bosnia and Srebrenica back in 1995, we're still witnessing another one in front of our eyes in Gaza and in Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for the brothers in Gaza, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, if this is an example of anything, the example of the failure of the global community for supporting and standing for justice and for the vulnerable and the weak. 1995, the situation in Bosnia was so dire, and that's in the heart of Europe. We expect them to make sure that they take care of their own. But because they were Muslims, unfortunately, were left as being prey. And it was supposed to be a security space, a safety shelter for the people in the center of it, in the central area of Bosnia. But when they were all gathered there, under the protection, supposedly, the United Nations, there was a breach allowing the enemy to come in and massacre more than 8,000 plus men and young boys. Brothers and sisters, we look back in that history and we're thinking about it, says, how could this possibly happen today? Why would even this should happen? And we keep reflecting and saying to ourselves, this should never happen again. And here we are today, 9 months later in Gaza, the onslaught is going on and no one is doing anything about it. There's a huge failure, not just on the Ummah level, on the entire global community. Brothers and sisters, if there is anything we learn from this, is today, as we speak, there is a huge competition among nations, among countries, to be the dominant culture after the failing of the global leadership of our time. And you can see that. Everybody's trying to be the dominant now country, the dominant culture, the dominant state, to rule over after the failing of our state over here. So there's a competition of cultures. Who is going to be the standard for the world afterwards? And if anything we learn from this as an ummah, we ask ourselves, where are we? Truly, where are we as Muslim ummah? What's the status of the Muslim ummah today? Why can't we be those dominant culture and tradition that people always found safety with in the past? SubhanAllah, if you look at the history of the ummah, wherever we go, we establish khair, prosperity to the people as well too. It's not just a matter of robbing them and leaving them and, you know, to become markets for our goods only, as was happening in colonialism era. It's different. But you ask yourself, where is the ummah then? What happened? See, in hadith in Sahih Muslim, hadith Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala wa arda, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that unasurtu, six things have been given, separate from what the anbiya, the other prophets, had been given. He says, قَالْ unasurtu بِالرُّعْبِ مَسِيرَةَ الشَّهْرِ. I've been given victory over my enemies by just the distance of a month, which just hearing about our presence is enough deterrent for people to misbehave. But nowadays, what fits our situation is Hadith Thawban radiallahu ta'ala anhu warda. I want to share with you Hadith Thawban, which was reported in Musnad Imam Ahmad and Sunan Abi Dawood, and learning from it for ourselves to understand the status of the ummah and what needs to be done. Thawban radiallahu ta'ala wa arda mentioned hadith Nabi salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yushiku al-umam tada'a alaykum kama tada'a al-akalatu ila qas'atiha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this hadith that the nations around you, they will just gather around you, just like when they call upon each other to come and feast. So when there is food, they all come to us. They call each other, come over here. And the same thing is happening in our time today. Taking opportunity for the uniqueness of the ummah. فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ. And the sahaba, they asked, قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ أَمِنْ قِلَّةٍ نَحْنِ يَوْمَئِذٍ. Are we going to be, is that because we're weak? We're few in numbers? قَالَ لَا بَلْ أَنْتُمْ كَثِيرٌ. No. He says, no, you're going to be many. Like never before. In terms of numbers, you're probably the largest. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ. Unfortunately, you only become like the scum on the surface of the water, which means no value to it, nothing. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, قَالَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى will remove the fear of you from the hearts of your enemies and place in your heart al-wahan. قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ what is al-wahan? قَالَ حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. The desire for this dunya and fearing death, disliking death. Why? Because that means we have built so much in this world that you attach ourselves so much to this dunya that we don't want to leave it behind. Like I have so much, I've done so much in this life, I forgot too much about the akhirah probably. So that's why I'm fearing what's coming because I don't know if I've done more here or more there. So the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith is teaching us lessons here. I'm going to share with you some of these lessons, my dear brothers and sisters, because I believe personally, in this time, when everybody's looking around, looking for a standard of morality, because we have seen the hypocrisy of the West, of the Western civilization, the call for freedom and democracy and all these kind of things, people start seeing with their own eyes how hypocritical that is, especially exposed by the situation in Israel and Gaza. We've seen that. And now everybody just like, they don't believe these people anymore. We're looking for now truthful path, somewhere where we can find really peace and tranquility, not just for my people, for everybody in the world. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as an example for this, as Allah says, قَالْ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ لَرَحْمَةَ الْعَالَمِينَ. That, ya Muhammad, you've been sent to the world, nothing but mercy. Mercy to the world. He brought mercy with him, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And we are the engine of that path. Brothers and sisters, our path was mentioned to us in the Quran. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You're the best nation ever produced to mankind. How so? قَالْ تَأْمُرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفَ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Because you enjoin good and forbid evil. Like the first quality that was mentioned about this ummah, that you really promote that which is right and good, and you stay away from that which is wrong. You stand for justice, that's what it means. You bring khair to the world. But when we become so individualistic right now, thinking too much about ourselves, our personal gain, our personal prosperity, on a personal level, group level, racial levels, or even actually state level, that's when we get divided. And if we get divided, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا, don't get divided among yourself, فَتَفْشَلُوا, and you will fail. وَتَذْهَبْ رِيحُكُمْ, your power will be just will dissipate and just leave. And just will have no power whatsoever. So you'll fail altogether. So what do we learn from this hadith? Five things I want to share with you. Number one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sending us a grave warning against internal weakness. He's saying this is weakness on your part. And he's warning us against it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course, in response to that, he's also showing us the importance of our spiritual strength. Like as individuals, as Muslims, as individuals, we're suffering a lot of weakness. Subhanallah, the amount of questions you get from people failing to understand the purpose of their life and the purpose of their existence and the need to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and live for the akhirah. Also, the greed that we have in our heart and the competition happens with people for the matters of dunya and so on. All these questions just tell you, subhanAllah, what happens to the ummah? Where is the concept of ithar, you know, altruism and caring for one another and assisting one another and spiritual strength in your iman and conviction of in your heart about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the akhirah? You know, on a massive level, there is a massive weakness in the ummah. But subhanAllah, you see strength in people like the people of Gaza. With all what they're going through, they give you an example of what does it mean to be a true believer. Losing everything, including their loved ones, and they still say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, we all belong to Allah, and to Him our return shall be. Nowadays, you lose your job, you lose your mind with it. This is it. People start freaking out. Like, where's the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where the fact that you need to do your part? And this is it. People start losing it. When matters of dunya start affecting them. So the first thing the Prophet ﷺ is warning us against is that internal weakness. And he's commending for us to look for that spiritual strength. Number two, the Prophet ﷺ is now warning us again also, or showing us the importance of unity as a group, as an ummah, the collective strength as an ummah, and warning us against division and disagreements. And it's very obvious. When he said that they start calling upon you from different places, what does that mean? I mean, we see today, Allah al-Musta'an, people from places they couldn't even imagine, and they're targeting you as Muslims, subhanAllah. Like Islamophobia is rising everywhere in the world in places that you can't even imagine. Like, really? You people? Out of all the people in the world? Because we're divided. There is no that unity that was in the past. Even not too long ago, when the Muslims were unified against for a specific purpose, such as Al-Aqsa, the case of Palestine and Jerusalem, they were one front, and they had some relative power, I would say. But today, when they gave up on the case, and that's it, now it become very individualistic interest on a state level, individual level, we get divided completely. And that's when we become so easy to prey on. Look at the Muslim world today. Almost there is war in almost in every country you can think of today. Everywhere. SubhanAllah, look how divided we are because of that. And the Prophet was warned against us because if you get divided and start fighting amongst yourselves, how do you expect to be leaders in morality and send the path to the world? Number three, The Prophet ﷺ in this hadith, he was warning us against indulgence in matters of dunya, and encouraging us to be minimalist in terms of the dunya here. Now, that doesn't mean to abandon every halal pleasure that's been given to you in this life. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قال وَابْتَغِي فِيمَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Says, don't, he says, whatever Allah has bestowed upon you, whatever Allah has given you, seek, he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the akhirah. Like, please Allah with this for the akhirah. Like, use it to benefit you in the akhirah. And then he said, قال وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. But don't forget about your share from the akhirah, or from this dunya, from this world. So yeah, think about the akhirah, build for it. But don't forget about your life. Still, benefit from it in the halal way. Unfortunately, today, it's the other way around. Many of us, what we focus more on is this dunya, and whatever time that is left for us, we dedicate to the akhirah. So if you ask yourself how much of your 24 hours, truly, you use to improve your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or even to bring you closer to Jannah and make your status inshallah for Firdaws al-A'la, versus the time that we spend to improve our life in this world. Once again, it's not haram and it's not wrong to take care of your dunya and bring the best out of it, as long as you use this to make it better for you in the akhirah. That is not your purpose. So the dunya stays in our hand, not in our heart. Number four, what we learn from this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the role of leadership in guiding the ummah in our time and warning us against failing in this, you're going to become a target exploited by the nations around you. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that these people start calling everyone around to come and attack you, as if he's saying, where are your leaders? Where are those who really care about standing between you and that aggression? Where are they? We see what's happening in Gaza right now, in Palestine, in Syria, in Sudan today, which is one of the most forgotten crises of our time, as we're busy worrying about what's happening in Gaza and Palestine and what's happening in other places in the world. SubhanAllah, we completely forgot about what's happening in Sudan. Unfortunately, the situation in Sudan is the Muslims among themselves. That's what is sad about it. And that's what probably maybe people, they want to talk about it because it's embarrassing. It's very embarrassing. But that's another example of failure in our leadership, to be examples for the world. So here, the Prophet ﷺ is telling us that this is the importance of having those leaders. But here's the thing, my dear brothers and sisters. We complain about leaders or lack of leadership, but those leaders are actually representative of your communities. Which means, how are we? Are we people of faith? Are we people of honesty and decency? Are we people of dunya, people of the akhirah? Depends on who we are, we're going to get these leaders anyway. So you want to have better leaders? Then become better communities, better people. That's what matters over here. And the Prophet ﷺ is highlighting this for us. And finally, the Prophet ﷺ is encouraging us as we work for the akhirah and strive in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means you make a stance. You take a stance as a believer for justice, for that which is right. You can't just see injustice around the world and just kind of play a blind eye on it as if doesn't matter to me. Even if it's not related to you directly, but we live as a global community. Whatever happens somewhere in the world will definitely affect us, and we're responsible for this as an ummah as well too. So you're going to have to learn to take a stance. We've seen the young people and their encampments in different campuses here in the country, subhanAllah, and it took us by surprise, putting adult leadership to shame. Because they took the stance and the sacrifice, you know, their time and their studies and even their career. They put it on the line because they believe in this cause. And that sort of teaches us a lesson that if everybody took a responsibility like this, subhanAllah, they won't be left out to be targeted right now and being attacked and being fired and expelled from schools. If everybody took responsibility to defend these young ones at least, and you took a stance in your own position, whatever you do, whatever you work, imagine how the ripple effect of all that stand for justice. We need to cooperate with one another, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, urging our community to be ready and prepared. Because like I said, the future is going to be competition. Which culture is going to be dominant? Which path? Which way? Which code of moralities? And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a standard for this, then we are the agent of that standard and we should do our part. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to follow Ya Rabbil Alameen and be true to our faith and our practice. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمُ وَلَكُمْ وَسَلَامُ مُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ثم ما بعد. My dear brothers, this is like I said, it's because of that internal weakness, the disorganization, the lack of true leadership, and focusing on this dunya in our heart, and not being prepared and really taking our task seriously to prepare ourselves individually to be there for those who need us. That's why we're failing as a community and as a global community as well too. But be prepared, my dear brothers and sisters. Take it seriously. As an individual, don't say there's nothing I can do. You can do more than what you think. But not just as an individual. Collectively, we can make a big effort, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. At least, let's begin with something tonight, today, inshallah. After Jum'ah, we have a group that is coming to vouch for our brothers and sisters in Sudan. We think so much about Gaza right now, and of course, there's no doubt it's an urgent matter. But we don't want to ignore the other situation that's happening around the world. So please, show your support to the brothers and sisters in Sudan. May Allah subhanahu make it easy for them, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'na, wa anfa'na bima allamtana, innaka anta al-alimul hakeem. Allahumma ati nufusana taqwaha, wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha, anta waliyuha mawlaha. Ibadallah, inna Allah malaikata salluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وارض اللهم عن خلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان ليوم الدين. وأقم الصلاة.